until the break this morning. I'm not keeping you in this heat and the cars and the, you know, if you want to open the door and get out and walk about, feel free. Don't feel you had to sit there and not move and be half cooked in the car this morning. I know it's very warm, but bless the Lord anyway. You know, I've got a lengthy portion of scripture to read. Genesis chapter 26. And my title this morning is Isaac's Living Water Revival Campaign. That's some title, isn't it? Isaac's Living Water Revival Campaign. Now, as reading this morning, and you know, as it says, it's a lengthy portion, Genesis chapter 26, and I'm going to begin to read at verse 15, and this is all about Isaac and his servants and the wells. And we read in verse 15 here, "For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them up with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Jeor and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Jeor did strife with Isaac's herdmen, saying, The water is ours. And he called the name of the well Issach, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there. And Isaac's servants digged a well." I'm going to end the reading there at verse 25, but I want to have a couple more verses towards the end of the chapter, which I want to bring later and read them later. And we'll just ask the Lord to bless his word this morning as we begin to look at this. Our Father, this morning, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And we thank you, Lord, we can draw from it this morning. And we ask you, Lord, as we gather around your word, that you'll open it to us. And Lord, that these wells that we're trying to speak about and this water, Lord, that it'll start flowing among us, in us and through us, Lord. And Lord, that it'll be a time of refreshing, and it'll be a time of rest, Lord, bestowed upon us. And Lord, we take authority over principalities and powers, and we say, bind the strong man this morning and spoil his goods, Lord. And loose your Holy Spirit upon us. Lord, don't let anything be said that ought not to be said, but let everything that's said here this morning bring glory and bring honor to your holy name. And grant, Lord, that we'll be the channel by which you can move in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, when I start to read this account, I'm sorry, I get very emotional sometimes. But you know, if you look at the life of Isaac was in the Lord's will of belief when he went down to Abimelech and he was with the Philistine group, and the Lord blessed him. And he was in the blessing of the Lord, you know, practically never out of the blessing of the Lord. And let me say this, he was blessed because of his father Abraham. That's why Isaac was blessed. God blessed him because of Abraham. The blessing come on him because of what his father had done. Now, we didn't read it, but if you just go back a couple of verses there, you'll read that Isaac sowed in the land of Gerar, and he took 100-fold. Now that is some production. That's some increase. That's some blessing. He took 100-fold. But then the next thing you find about him is that he's envied. The group that he's with, they don't really want him. He doesn't fit in. You know, whenever God puts his hand on your life, sometimes you'll find that you'll not fit in everywhere. It's not everywhere you'll be accepted. No matter what happens in your life or how the Lord is blessing you, it doesn't mean everybody's going to receive you and everybody's going to open their arms and welcome you and say, oh boy, you're part of the family. You see, he was with that group, but God wanted him to move. And it's recorded in the scripture here, and it's in verses 15 and 16. And first of all, in verse 15, you'll read where all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and had filled them with earth. Now, there's two types of people today. There's well stoppers and there's well diggers. What's a well stopper? A well stopper will never bring you into the presence of the Lord. A well stopper will never bring the power of God into the room. A well stopper will never bring the living water forth. But instead of bringing forth the living water, they'll block the source. They'll block the power. They'll block the Holy Ghost. They'll block the moving of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us here that these Philistines went down to them wells that Abraham's servants had dug, and they filled them up with earth. You know what's wrong today and what's happening and has been happening? Somebody said one time about a man, he was so heavenly minded he was no earthly use. But listen, what's wrong today? They're so earthly minded, they're no heavenly use. And Paul writes to the Corinthians and he said, As is the earthly, such are they of the earth. And as is the heavenly, such are the heavenly, such are they that are of heaven. But these men come down and block the flow and stop the wells. You see, a well's not a well unless there's water. Let me say this. A church is not a church unless there's living water in that church. A church is not a church. It's only a formal group gathering together. It's only a gathering together. It's a social event. But God doesn't want you to come to a social event. God wants you to come to a place where the power of God's available, where the Spirit of God's available, and where the rivers of living water are flowing. That's where God wants us to be. And you see, what happened in the life of Isaac, why he was in the blessing all the time. He was in the blessing all the time. And could you go to Isaac and say to Isaac, I know you took 100-fold, but God truth. You're in the wrong place at the wrong time. God wants you to go somewhere else. God wants you to up and get out of this place and move away. And you know, that man Abimelech, he comes down to Isaac, and in verse 16 he says, and Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us. Now listen, when God wants to speak to you, he can use whatever he wants, whatever vessel he wants, whatever vessel he chooses, no matter who it is, no matter if it's part of your group or not part of your group. He used a donkey, didn't he? He used a rooster. God can use whatever he wants or whoever he wants to speak to you when he wants to speak to you. And I believe that God used Abimelech to speak to Isaac here, and he just is plain and straight. Go from us. Get out of here. Get away from us. Go away from us. Go. And he wasn't actually chasing him, but it was the next thing till it, wasn't it? And you see, there, because of the man, because of the plan of God, let me say that, because of the plan of God, Isaac had to separate himself. Isaac had it. The Bible says in verse 17, and Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Jeor and dwelt there. See, right away Isaac's away, he's moving. And where does he move? He moves to the valley. He moves into the valley. You might say, boy, what took him in there? Well, you know, it's easy to be on the mountaintop. It's easy to be where everything's flowing and everything's rosy. But you know, sometimes God wants to bring you into the valley. And he brought Isaac into the valley. And you might say, well, he had a valley experience. He was in the valley, and the Bible says he dwelt there. He was there a long time. He just wasn't there for a day. He wasn't just there for a week. He wasn't just there for a month. I believe he was there for years. And I never really checked it out how long he was there, but I believe he was there long enough to achieve what God wanted to achieve in his life. And there you find him. He's in the valley. And you know, I'm rushing here and I'm moving on, and I've maybe missed out some of the things that I've loads of stuff here that I have. Oh, I've made a lot of stuff, a lot of notes, but maybe they're not all that important this morning. Listen, the Lord brings Isaac into this valley. And the Bible says in verse 18, and Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. Oh boy. You see, Isaac comes down into this valley. But it's when Isaac's in the valley that he starts to dig the wells again. Now let me say this in case I forget to say it. The Lord wanted these wells to be reopened. The Lord didn't want them wells to be closed. He didn't want them wells to be filled with earth. He didn't want them wells that if you come down to that well, there was nothing for you. He didn't want you to come to the well and not be able to get a drink. The Lord wanted them wells to be reopened. It was the Lord that wanted it. Now, let me say this, and you know this without me telling you. There is no earthly product that can replace living water. There's no man-made schedule that can replace the Holy Spirit of the living God. There is, it doesn't exist. There's nothing. There's no substitute for the Holy Ghost. There's no substitute for living water. You know, the devil, the enemy, is the one that wants to block the flow. The enemy is the one that wants to stop the wells. The enemy is the one that wants to fill the wells with earth. You know, what have we today? We have people today, and they say they're Christians. Well, first of all, they act like the world. They look like the world. They talk like the world, and they think like the world. That's right. And they say they're Christian. But you see, I believe a Christian's different from the world. I believe they've got this living water. They've got something within them that drives them. They've got something that within them that refreshes them. Now, let me move on here, because Isaac came, and I believe he was right in the will of God, and God was speaking to him, and God was using him. And you see, the Lord wanted these wells to be unstopped. The Lord wanted these wells, if you come down to these wells, honey, the Lord wanted them that you would get refreshment, you would get a drink. Now, what do we read about? What do we read about Isaac? Now, I want you to notice something here in verse 18. It says, Isaac digged again the wells of water. You know, that's how you unblock a well. Dig it out. Get rid of the rubbish. Dig it out. Isaac digged again. Now, what does that tell me? That tells me that Isaac had a returning to his roots. Isaac could remember a time whenever he would come down to these wells and there would be living water, there would be water. He could remember a time whenever they would go down there and it would be a time of refreshment. It would be a time where you could go and get a drink. You could get something and you would get a rest. You would get a refreshment. And then, you see, this was an opportunity for Isaac to do something. You know, Isaac could have said, oh, I needn't move. Look at the way I'm being blessed. I didn't do this, I didn't do that. Look at the way the Lord's blessing me. I just took 100-fold there off my last harvest. I just had 100-fold of an increase. Oh, I was down in the meeting and there was 100 people saved. Isaac never said that. He was willing to go where the Lord wanted him to go. He was willing to do what the Lord wanted him to do. But he comes down here, and this is, I say, it's a living water revival campaign. I tell you, we ought to have a living water revival campaign. We ought to have a campaign where the living water's flowing, and you know people are going to be blessed. The power of God's going to come on them and set them free. The Holy Spirit's going to move on them and deliver them. We know that they're going to meet with God. And see, he was digging them out again. He was digging these wells out again. He starts his servants to dig the wells out. Boy, that speaks to me of restoration. That speaks to me of doing something for God. And it's not no new thing. You know, we don't need a new thing. What we need is the original. You don't need anything new. You need something that is original. Amen. You need a Pentecostal experience. Amen. You need a Holy Ghost baptism of fire. You need living water. That's what we need. We need the original power of God. We need the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And the Bible says if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it'll quicken your mortal body. Make you alive. Make you alive. You know, if you drink living water, you're going to live. If you drink living water, it'll refresh your life. Hallelujah. If you drink living water, it'll give you something that'll give you strength and something that'll refresh you and sustain you. You know, might come to that a little later, but just at the moment, I want to concentrate on how that he digged the wells out again. He dug the wells out. You see, I said there's two types. There's well stoppers and there's well diggers. Now, you see, these men were sent out. And whenever they would arrive, could you imagine them arriving at the well, one of them wells, and there was absolutely no water. There was no water. But what did they do? They start digging. They start digging. Now, they didn't see water right away. They just didn't see the water, but they start to dig. Can you imagine them? And somebody coming down the road and meets them men, and them men is digging. They're digging in the field. They're digging in maybe the valley or in the wilderness place, and they're digging. And somebody says, "What are you doing?" "Well, I'm digging." Why are you digging?" I'm looking for Abraham's well." "Well, the well stopper looked at it and said, "Oh, that's not for today. That's not for you. That's not for today. That was all right for Abraham's day. It's not for today." Do you think them men, if them men had to listen to them, would they have continued on to dig? Would they continue on to search? Would they continue on to have a thirst? You know, they would have just went back to Isaac and said, "There's no water there. We never found water. The well wouldn't have been dug out." No, it wouldn't. They just have walked away and said, "No, it's all over. It's all over. It can't happen today. That was yesterday." But they persevered. And they kept on digging. Now, let me say this morning, and I have to move. I'm taking up a lot of your time this morning. You know, they digged out the wells. And when they digged out the wells, they called them the names by which his father had called them. I want to ask you this morning, have you some wells? Have you some wells that the enemy has stopped that need to be reopened? Is there some well in your life that the enemy has closed and it needs to be reopened? It needs to be dug out. Now you see, let me say this, and this is very important. Isaac and his servants were the well diggers, but they never could supply the water. You know, you can dig the well, but you can't supply the water. There's only one that can supply the water this morning, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the Holy Ghost baptizer. Amen. He said, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink." And the Bible also goes on to say, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Now you see, what is happening? You see, the enemy got in here. The men, even the same men that was fellowshipping or being in the same group as Isaac, these is the men that stopped the flow. These is the men that blocked the flow. These was the well stoppers. But Isaac's servants went down and they started to dig again. They started to have a hunger on them again. They started to have a thirst on them again. And they went down and they started to dig them old wells up. And they said, "We know there's water here. We know the power of God can come. We know revival can hit us. We know we can have a revival of living water. We know that the Lord is in control. And we know that He is the supplier. There's no man. Isaac is not the supplier. But Isaac maybe is the channel that God wants to use. And maybe you're the channel that God wants to use. So that the living water can flow through you and flow through others and meet their needs. And they'll get a touch from God." See, that's living water. You know, I don't want to keep you too long this morning. You see, if I send you to a well where there's no water, you're never going to get a drink. I'm going to say that again. If I send you to a well that's dried up, you're never going to get a drink. And you can go to that well, and you can wait there, and you can sit there, and you can talk there, and you can try to fellowship there. Let me say this, never Now, whenever Isaac was with the Philistine king, when he was with Abimelech, he never got a taste of any of this water in the valley. He never got a drink of the original stuff. God gave you a drink of that original Pentecost. God gave you a drink of that original power, of that fire that fell on the day of Pentecost. God gave you a drink of that. And I believe the Lord says, you better move. Isaac, you better move, because you're never going to get that water here. You're looking in the wrong place. See? And he moves and he gets away. He starts digging. He starts digging again. He starts digging again. And when he digs again, well, sorry, Jeff, I maybe knocked that. When he starts digging again, he finds the living water. He finds the living water. He finds the source. He finds what he's been looking for. He finds what he's been searching for. You know what it says in Isaiah chapter 28? You needn't turn to it, or you can turn to it if you want to, but I'm just going to read this quickly. Isaiah chapter 28, verses 11 and 12, it says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said," who's he? That's the Lord. To whom he said, "This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing," yet they would not hear. Let me tell you something. When you get the living water, you get a refreshment. You get a refreshing and you get a rest. There's a rest that comes off the Holy Ghost that comes on God's people. There's a rest. And there's not only a rest, there's a refreshment. And you know something? You see that well. One of the main things that comes out of that well is unknown tongues and interpretation. Let me say this, and I want you to note it down. There has never been a gift more attacked than the gift of tongues. There has never been a gift that God sent. And I want to tell you something. God made no mistake when he gave the gift of tongues. And God made no mistake when he gave the gift of interpretation. But too many people today have become a well stopper. Too many people today has become a well blocker. So many people today say, if you speak with tongues, you'll not be in our group. If you have interpretation, you'll not be in our group. And all they have done is filled in the well with earth. And all they have done is blocked the flow. And all they have done is create a man-made thought that is a thought from the Antichrist himself. It's not from the Word of God. It's not in the Word of God. But when I look at the Word of God, I can see the gift of tongues. I can see the gift of interpretation. I can see a deliverance ministry. I can see the spirit of prophecy. I can see discerning of spirits and casting out of demons in Jesus' name. You see what's wrong? There's too many well blockers today. God, give us a revival of living water. God, send a revival of living water among us. And I believe God, look, them men done the digging, but the Lord, he supplied. He's the supplier. He was the source. He's the one that'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. What did John the Baptist say when he come baptizing and when he come preaching? He says, "I baptize you with water, but there stands one among you." Boy, that was some meeting, wasn't it? I'd love to have been in that meeting where John the Baptist was preaching and he said, "I baptize you with water, but there's one standing here among you." Hallelujah. There's one standing here among you on Sunday morning in 2021 in July. There's one standing here among you that'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. There's one here this morning that has got the living water. There's one here this morning. You Why, maybe the Lord allowed you to get in the valley so that he could pour his Spirit out upon you. Praise his holy name. Oh, bless the Lord. But you see, what happens in the life of this man, Isaac? Well, verse 19 says, and Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Boy, that is something, isn't it? They found there a well of springing water. You know, in the margin of my Bible, it says living water. Living water, they found. Boy, have you been digging lately? Have you been digging lately? Have you been searching lately? Have you been thirsty lately? Where are you digging? Are you digging in the right place? Are you digging in the wrong place? Are you surrounded with well blockers? Or are you surrounded with well diggers? You might need to separate yourself from the well blockers and get alone with God and get down to the well diggers. Ask them to give you a drink of this living water. You know, they found the water. They found the well of springing water. They found a well. Why, what was it? The original source. The same Holy Ghost. Now, you know these things this morning. I'm only trying to create your thirst to make you more thirsty. And when you hear what happens in verse 20. In verse 20 says, and the herdmen of Jerah did strife with Abraham's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. The water is ours. That's our water. You see, plenty of people want to claim they've got the Holy Ghost. There's plenty of people want to claim, oh, we have that. That's ours. Sure, we have them things too. But these men was working for the wrong master. No harm to them. They were working for the wrong master. And they said, the water is ours. And in verse 20, they come down and said, the water is ours. And they called the name of the well Issach, because they strove with him. And that word Issach, I don't know if I'm saying these words right, you bear with me this morning, but that means contention. Contention. Do you know what's wrong today in Christian circles? It's competition. Competition. Well, we do this, we do that, we do something else. The Lord didn't ask Isaac to be in competition with anybody. All he asked him to do was re-dig the wells that Abraham's servants had dug. All he asked him to do, look, it's not a competition, it's not a strife, I don't want no contention, I don't want no fighting. You know, the Bible says where envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. Where envy and strife is. And you see the way, I believe this is the enemy. See the way the enemy never gives up. He keeps on. He's saying, that's our water. Sure, we have them things. Sure, we have got all them gifts. Sure, we do that all. We do that all. All of us, we all have that. That's nothing new. That's our water. But you see, it caused a contention. There was a strife. There was a strife with the herdmen of Isaac's herdmen and G.R.'s herdmen. There was a division among them. And they were fighting over the water. And you know, whenever that happens, what does Isaac do? The Bible says in verse 21, and they digged another well. They went and dug another well. I tell you, they weren't confined to one movement. They went and they dug another well. Amen. And when they dug the other well, they were destroyed for that also. You see, if the enemy, the devil never creates anything. Get that. The devil is not a creator. He cannot create anything. All he can do is pollute something that is made or distort it. The thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy, Jesus said. But I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. And you see there, what happens? Well, the strove for that, and they called it sitna. And that word, I believe, means enmity. Enmity. You see, it was begrudged to them. Enmity. You see, if they come down to get a drink of water, there was a dozen men standing in the way. Now, let me say this. Some people, I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. Some people will bring the blessing of the Lord. Other people will never bring it. Now, that sounds crude, or it sounds rude, and it sounds cheeky. But I believe it. Some people will bring you the blessing of the Lord. Other people will never bring it. They'll stop it. They'll do the opposite. They'll bring you down till a dry well. They'll bring you down till a place where there's nothing. Nothing for the inner man. Nothing for the soul. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, may the Lord help us to get the wells unstopped. May he help us to get back to where the water's flowing freely. May he help us to get to that place, that source, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, is him. And you see, what happens in Isaac's life, you see, whenever these boys, these well stoppers, these are the boys that stopped the wells in the first place. Now they're falling. They're going where the blessing is. Oh boy, there were plenty of people follow a man. And they followed Isaac. And he was only a man. They followed him. Why did they follow him? They said, go from us because you're mightier than we are. We know the Lord's with you. And you know, Abimelech chased him, and then he come back looking at him to make a covenant with him. And he says, me and you's going to do a deal here because I never done you no harm. And me and you's going to do a deal. And you know, Isaac never turned back. Listen to this. When Isaac came out, he never turned back. He stayed with the course that the Lord had set for him. He didn't turn back. Well, if he had turned back, he never got that water. If he had turned back, them wells would still be closed today. They wouldn't be functioning. They wouldn't be producing. You know, when God spoke to some men about certain things that he wanted them to do, they could never turn back. Jesus said, he that puts his hand to the plow and turns back, he's not even fit for the kingdom. I want to encourage you this morning, don't you turn back. I don't care how long you've been down in that valley. I don't care how long you've been digging. I don't care how long you've been searching. But never, 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 ever, ever turn back. Keep going on. Keep going forward. Because God's going to reward you one of these days. And you know, Isaac went down there and there was no water. The land was barren. The land was dry. And then next thing you know, what happens? The Holy Ghost hits somebody. The living water comes on the scene again. The power of God comes on the scene again. People start getting saved. People start getting filled with the Holy Ghost. People start getting deliverance ministry. The gifts of the Holy Spirit start to manifest. Well, that's God's will. But you see, every time these followers come down after a man, and they won't follow in the Lord, they come down here. But verse 22 tells us that, what you see, after this sitna well, after this enmity, the Bible says that Isaac, it's talking about Isaac, and he removed from thence and digged another well. Hallelujah. This man, Isaac, he just keeps moving on. See, whenever the contention starts, and whenever the strife starts, and the envy starts, he just keeps moving on. And he just moves on again, and he builds another well. Now listen, I look at this clock, and every time I look at it, it's going faster. And you're being really patient, and I appreciate you sitting in the warm sun and the heat in your car. If you want to get out, if you want to open the door, get out and walk about. Don't worry about it. Don't want you overcooked this morning. But listen, he moved on. He just, Isaac up and away again. And the Bible says, and he digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And verse 23 says, and he went up from thence to Beersheba. Let me say this, and I'm maybe jumping the gun here a bit, but when you're down in the valley, there's only one place, there's only one way you can go, and that's up. Hallelujah. The Bible says that he went up to Beersheba. He was in the valley, but he went up to Beersheba. I'm going to say that again. When you're down in the valley, there's only one way you can go, and that's up. Hallelujah. And if you've been in that valley a long, long time, I've got news for you. God's going to promote you, and God's going to bring you out of that valley, and you're going to go up to Beersheba. And there's going to be a well of water there, a well of living water. Hallelujah. And how do you do that? John, what makes you say that? Well, do you know that word Rehoboth? Know what it means? It means plenty of room. Plenty of room. I want to tell you, God has plenty of room for you. God has made room for you. Isaac said, now he has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. I want to say, the devil doesn't want you to have that ministry. The devil doesn't want you to have that water. The devil doesn't want you to have that authority. Or the devil does not want you to have any say in the matter. But God, the Lord, has made room for you. Hallelujah. There's room for revival. There's room for living water. And the Lord has made room for you. It wasn't another man. It was the Lord that made room for you. Why am I talking? Why am I getting excited? Do you know that word Rehoboth? Do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. I want to say there's room at the cross for you. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. There's room at the cross for you. Hallelujah. There's room for you at the cross. And you see, what happened here? What happened? Well, the well stoppers never seemed to want to come to Rehoboth. The well blockers never wanted that. They didn't want any of that. You know, Satan can never undo Calvary. Satan can never undo the work of the cross. Satan can never undo the blood. Satan can never undo Calvary or the effects of Calvary. He can't undo what God has done in your life. Can't do it. He might want to do it. He might try to do it. He might send somebody else to do it. But it can't happen. Hallelujah. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the sake of time alone, but for eternity. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you, Rehoboth, there's room. Lo, millions have come. There's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Hallelujah. The Lord made room for Isaac. The Lord made room for his servants. The Lord done that. And you know what? He's a supplier. He supplied the water. Somebody done the digging, but they never manufactured water. You can't manufacture the Holy Ghost. You can't manufacture living water. It has to come from above. You can paddle the bike, you can tell stories, but that's not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is living. The Holy Ghost is alive. Amen. Praise his holy name. He's available. Amen. See, boy, I tell you something. You see, Isaac was blessed. But God wanted to give him more. You might be blessed, but don't you give up. Don't you say, I've reached it. Never, never, ever say that. Never say, oh, we have achieved. We have it all. We've done it all. Never say you've got the t-shirt. You might have it. Forget about it. You know what I didn't say about being in the valley? Being in the valley is a time to humble yourself. Being in the valley is a time to search yourself. Yourself. You. Nobody else. You. Me. When God brings you in the valley, it speaks to me of humility. Well, a man of God one time was preaching and he said, don't we worry about a valley experience, for he says it's just a mountaintop upside down. And sometimes, you know, our lives are upside down, as it were. And maybe Isaac's life was upside down. Maybe he said, himself, "Oh, what's going on here? Oh boy, sure had some blessing down there with the king of the Philistines. Oh boy, I had great meetings there. I had a great time there, but the Lord said, get up and get out of here. Move on." That's what he said. And he done that. He went out by faith, I believe. He went down into that valley. And he was there in a valley experienced by, I tell you, when he come there, there was nothing. You know, it's beside the point, maybe, but listen, if Israel went out of her homeland today, did you know the Palestinians and all them other countries, they wouldn't get a drink of water? Do you know that? Because the Israelis have the technology to source the water. And they don't only source it for themselves, but they sell it to the Philistines, or the Palestinians. That's right. You can look that up on the internet. You'll see what I'm saying is right. And you know what? Why am I saying that? I'm saying no Isaac, no water. No Jesus, no Holy Ghost. No Calvary, no Pentecost. But too many people today talk about Calvary and they want nothing to do with Pentecost. They want nothing to do with the living water. They don't want it. They're working on another plot. They say, "Oh, we. No, not we, him. The Lord, the Holy Ghost. I'm moving on. Oh boy, you're very patient with me this morning, and I thank you for that. Praise the Lord. You see, Isaac said in verse 22, the latter part, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." If you want to be fruitful, you need the Holy Ghost. No Holy Ghost, no fruit. No. You need the genuine article. You need the original. And the Bible says in verse 23, "And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him," the same ninth, verse 24, "and said unto him, I am the God of Abraham thy father." Now, the God that gave Abraham the water is the same God that's going to give the same water to Isaac. Let me say this. The God that gave the Holy Ghost to them disciples in the upper room is the same God that's going to give you the Holy Ghost in your room and in your heart and in your place of dwelling. He's the same one. And it's not going to be a different Holy Ghost. It's going to be the same Holy Ghost. It's going to be the same Holy Spirit. It's going to be the same anointing with the same effects. You expect it. Amen. You expect it and you believe it. Now, I'm moving on quickly, and you've been very good listening to me this morning, and I appreciate your time. Well, here we see that Isaac comes up out of the valley, and he comes up, the Bible says, and he went up from thence to Beersheba, verse 23, "And the Lord appeared unto him, and he said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not. Fear not." You know, this is all sermons on their own. There's a sermon there. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. And why fear not? He said, "Fear not, for I am with thee." You know, when Christ is in the vessel, you can smile at the storm. Fear not, for I am with thee. Don't be afraid. I am with thee. The Lord says, I'm with you. But that was some visitation. You see, Isaac took a few simple steps and he just followed the leading of the Holy Ghost. He followed the leading of the Lord. And the Lord took him through the valley. He took him down into that valley and what was he doing? He was on a revival, living water revival campaign. That's what I call that. Living Water Revival Campaign. You know, that'd be a great title for a banner. For a great crusade, for a great move of God. But I'm talking about a move of God where it's back to the Acts of the Apostles. I'm talking back to the original. Back to the genuine article. No counterfeit, no man-made stuff. The Holy Ghost stuff. The genuine article. And you see, here the Lord has come down and met with, he come down again and he meets with Isaac and he said, "Fear not, for I am with thee." And he goes on, he doesn't only say, I'm with thee, he says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. And boy, he was in the blessing. A man in the blessing, and the Lord comes and tells him he's going to bless him, and he's already in the blessing. Why did he say that? Because he didn't ever want Isaac to set the gun down, or the gauntlet down. He wanted him to keep pressing forward. He wanted him to keep pressing towards that mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. He wanted him not to say, we have made it, we can sit down and fold our arms. Never done that. But you see the way the Lord come to him, and the Lord spoke to him, and then he says to him, listen, he says, he'll multiply thy seed. Why? For my servants Abraham's sake, because of what Abraham done. You know, Abraham was called the friend of God, and he could intercede on behalf of others. And I believe he interceded on behalf of Isaac. And the Bible tells us of Abraham that he gave Isaac possession of all that he had. He gave it to Isaac. And you know, when he gave it to him by faith, because Abraham had living water. And Isaac hadn't got the living water then, maybe. But Isaac came till where the living water was and started digging, and the Lord gave it. Now, I'm moving on. You're listening well. I'm looking at this clock. Forgive me. Listen, I'm nearly through. I'm nearly over. Listen. In my own words, Abimelech come down, he makes a pact. He tries to make a covenant. He makes a covenant with Isaac, and the two boys shake hands, and they're good friends, and they say, look, I'll do you no harm. That's all right. Go you on about your business. I'll do you no harm. And you see all this time, but Isaac has still his servants, and they're still digging. Boy, there's no let up with these men. They're still digging. They're still searching. They're still thirsty. And verse 32 at the end of the chapter. Now, Isaac sends Abimelech away. He sends him away in peace and says, well, that's all right. We're partners. We're friends. We're not going to fall out over a bit of water. We're not going to fall out over a bit of land. And we're not going to attack each other. Go on. That's okay. Go on your way and with my blessing. And away you go, Abimelech. And he sends him away. And you know, the same day, verse 32, and it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water. Boy, we have found water. We have found water. We have found water. We have found water. You know, was it Philip went down to Nathanael and said, we have found the Christ. And Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Galilee? And he says, come and see. But these men returned and they say, we have found water. And he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba until this day. And that's where Isaac went up and built an altar and called upon the name of the Lord. But these men come back and they said, we have found water. Now, you wouldn't need to be very smart to know what I'm going to say here. Do you see, when you find water, you'll know you found it. When you find water, you will know you have found water. You will not need somebody to tell you that you found water. Amen. And when these men came back with this report, they said, we have found water. They didn't say, we dug a well. Come on down, tell it. What's it like? It's dry. Well, there's no point in going down to the well if the well's dry. You'll not get nothing. You might as well stay at home. You will not get anything for the soul. You'll get absolutely nothing. But these men come back and said, we have found the water. You see, when you get the Holy Ghost, you don't need anybody to tell you you've got it. And listen, let me say this in the mildest form that I can say this. If you don't know you've got it, you haven't got it. I'm saying that this morning, that's a bold statement to make. But I want to tell you, everybody in the Bible that got the Holy Ghost knew they had it. And everybody in the Bible that dug out the wells, when they found the water, they knew they had found the water. They didn't say, oh, it might be there, it could be there, I'm hoping it's there. You know, a man once in England, he was a believer, and another man was there, and he said to him, have you got the Holy Ghost? Well, he says, to tell you the truth, I don't know. Could you imagine meeting these men? And the men was digging the well, and somebody met them and said, did you find water? And one of the diggers looked at him and said, well, to tell you the truth, I don't know if I did or not. Boy, listen, if I threw a bucket of water over you, you might be glad this day is so hot, but you would know you got it. You wouldn't get it through around you and not know it. I just want to leave you with that now. Why am I saying that? I am saying because I'm a sensationalist. What's a sensationalist? It's a man that feels the power of God. Now you see, there's all sorts of things that we could go, there's all sorts of roads we could go here, but I'm not going to go any of them roads this morning. Listen, I'm coming till it close. I want to speak just briefly, very briefly, about this water. And I want to say there's a loss and effect with it. When you get this water, there's a loss and effect. You know, there's people out last night that were drinking 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning before they're home. Get a taxi, bring you home because you're too drunk. You're intoxicated. You're intoxicated with liquor or alcohol and you can't drive. The police get you, you lost your license. And then there's taxi men running through the night bringing drunkards home. People that are intoxicated. And don't say to them, man, were you drunk? For they'll say, yes, I was drunk. You know, I'm reading in a book there about the late brother David Greeno, and there's a story in that book about men who come over the border from County Monaghan, and they went to the house meeting, and the Holy Ghost fell on them. And one of the men who was driving the car said he wanted to wait a while till the men that had got the Holy Ghost would sober up, for he didn't want the guarder to stop them. I tell you, and then you say, oh, boy, but they didn't really have the Holy Ghost. What did they have? I believe they had the Holy Ghost on them. I believe it was the power of God come on them. Something real come on them. Now, I have to move. I'm taking a lot of your time. Forgive me. John's Gospel chapter 4 is the story where Jesus must go through Samaria, and the Bible says he come down and he sat down at the well, and that was Jacob's well. Now this is a natural well. This is a natural spring. This is living water. This is Jacob's well. And Jesus, being weary of the journey, sat there, and there's a woman of Samaria come out, and she starts to draw water out of the well. And you see the longevity of Jacob's well. Now I want you to notice that. How long ago did Jacob dig that well? I don't know. I didn't take time to research it, but you could research it, and you could find that it was hundreds of years before, or thousands of years before, that this woman and the Lord Jesus sat at that well, and that was Jacob's well, and it was still producing. It was still manufacturing the same product, which was living water. It was water there. Now listen, living water, I should have said this, and maybe I haven't said it, but I'm saying it now. Living water, representation of the Holy Spirit of the living God. And here this woman comes out to draw water, and Jesus is sitting on the well side, or he's sitting on the wall, and he says to the woman, give me a drink. And the woman says, how come you, being a Jew, ask me being a Samaritan, ask me for a drink? Because the Jews and the Samaritans have no dealings with each other. Jesus said in verse 10 of John's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, never forget them words, if thou knewest the gift of God, the gift of God, the gift of God, if thou knewest the gift of God, it's the gift of God. You can't paddle this back, you can't follow a set of rules, it's the gift of God. The gift of God brings eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus He said, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me a drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. See, the woman said, the well's deep, sir, you've nothing to draw with, and the well's deep. Oh, boy. Turn it over to verse 14 I'm looking for. Jesus said about this well, if you drink from it, you'll thirst again. But listen, the lasting effect of the Holy Ghost. In verse 14 it says, but whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the well that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Hallelujah. John's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 37. Jesus is at the feast, and verse 37 says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Listen, if you're thirsting this morning, there's only one person, there's one man you need to see, you need to go tell him, you need to talk to him, you need to ask him. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a supplier. He's the source. He's the one that produces. It's not the Northern Ireland Water Board you need to see. It's not some denomination you need to see. It's not some minister you need to see, maybe. But although God can use a minister by which the channel can flow through, just like he used Isaac here to allow this channel to flow. But Jesus said, let him come unto me and drink. If you're thirsting this morning, there's one you can go tell. And he gives the invitation. The Lord gives the invitation. Let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth in me, verse 38, he that believeth in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And I'm ending with this verse of scripture. I want to leave it with you, and you have been really good listening this morning and sitting there in your car and in this heat that we're not used to. I appreciate your time this morning, and may the Lord bless you. But I want to leave you with John's Gospel, and it's chapter 20. And there's a few verses here, verses 21 down till 22, verses 19. And this is Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. This is the Lord after Calvary. And verse 19 of John's Gospel, chapter 20, we read these words. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Now they were afraid. Them men was afraid. They were afraid of their lives. They were afraid of the cross. And they were gathered together, and it wasn't an open door. You know, that meeting wasn't in the paper. That gathering wasn't advertised. It was kept a secret. It was quiet. The doors were shut. The doors wasn't only shut, I believe they were barred. They were locked. And it was the first day of the week, and the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. And it says, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Praise the Lord. And verse 20, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now there's the commission. There's the commission. Now after the commission comes the instructions, what needs to be done. That's the very next verse. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. You know, if you want a word from the Lord this morning, there's one for you. Oh, what did the wee chorus say? I'm coming till a close. Said, breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love as thou dost love, and do as thou wouldst do. Will you do something this morning? I'm not going to ask you to come right up here, but what I want you to do in acknowledgement that God's going to touch you, I want you to get out of your car and stand beside it. And if you don't want to get out of your car, that's all right, don't you worry about it, but I want you to get out of your car now, and I want you to stand beside it. And I'm going to pray. You know, Jesus came to where them men were, and he spoke to them, and he said, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And then he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now this morning, you don't have to get out of your car, but look, you've sat there long enough, maybe, and you're roasting hot. I'm going to pray this morning. And I can pray. Whenever I pray, all I'm doing is digging a well. But I don't supply the Holy Ghost. That comes from a man called Jesus Christ. I don't supply any miracles or any deliverance or any healing. That comes from one that's his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. That comes from him this morning. And I'm going to ask him to visit you. I'm going to ask him to touch you. I'm going to ask him to fill you with this living water. I'm going to say, oh, he's going to come and you're going to unstop some of them wells that the enemy has closed them. The enemy has stopped them. And God's going to reopen them. And that water's going to start flowing. And it's going to bring a mighty revival of living water into your life and into the life of those who come into contact with you, wherever you are, whatever you will do. Lord, this morning, what can I do? I said I can only dig a well. I can only do a bit of hoking, do a bit of digging, do a bit of searching, Lord. I never give an invite. You give it. You said if any man thirst, if any man, Lord, if any woman thirst, Lord, you see the thirst on your people this morning. You see the hunger on them this morning. You see the valley situations. You see the valley experiences this morning. Lord, give these people a promotion. Bring them up to that altar of yours and that place of worship, that true place of worship. Bring them up to that city called Beersheba. Bring them to that place where the living water is flowing and where there's no strife or there's no enmity or there's no contention. But you have sought the well, you have sought the purpose, and you have fulfilled the purpose. Lord, just breathe on your people again. Breathe on them the Holy Ghost. And Lord, may they say, Lord, I thank you because I've met with you today and you have come again and you have given me that refreshment. You have given me that rest. You have given me that Holy Ghost experience, Lord. Let it be in Jesus' name. Let it be, Lord, ere the people's feet touch the ground, that you'll answer the prayer. And may, Lord, to be fruitful in the land. In Jesus' name. For your honor and for your glory, Lord. Oh God, I say, do this for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. I bless the people in the name of the Lord. I bless the people standing. I bless the people sitting. I bless the people listening in. I bless those that are near and I bless those that are far off in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, how you would bless them, only by the living water, only by your special gift, the gift of God. And Lord, I thank you for Calvary. And I thank you for Pentecost. I thank you for gifts and calls. Callings of God that are without repentance. I pray your people will go from here and be strengthened and encouraged in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tommy's going to come. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good? Praise God. The Lord bless your brother John and for the message this morning. And you know, I was thinking, and I'm not going to take any time because I know it's warm, or Brother Gary's going to come, but years ago my father told me a story. He was there and he saw it. There was a woman in a certain organization, and the Holy Spirit came on her, and she was baptized with Spirit and spoke with tongues. And they run quickly into the back, filled the bucket of water and threw it over. That's a well stopper, right there. John G. Lake, if any of you have read of John G. Lake, if you've never heard of him, get his books. John G. Lake, I believe, was a general of God. And John G. Lake said, speaking in tongues revolutionized his ministry. He was never the same after he got the tongues. God used him in a greater and a more powerful way. Thank God for the gifts of God. The Lord bless each one this morning. You that's been prayed for, go believe in it. Believe in it. That God's done it. And expect it. And the Lord bless you. As our Brother Gary comes, I'll be live again this evening, 4:30, on our Facebook church app. Tune in for the Word of God. We want to continue on. Maybe you know the Word this morning was for me. Maybe I have to go somewhere else now. And I'm serious. I could get up in the morning and just go. So you pray for us anyhow. The Lord bless you all.
Well, the Lord bless you. I'm just going to sing a chorus as we leave. We'll not pray again. The Lord bless. I'm going to sing that little chorus as we go. The move is on, my Lord. The move is on.